Wake up with the news and information you can trust. Starting your day the right way with the Andy Griffin Show. This is News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU.
Hey, good morning to you. I'm Andy Griffin. This is the Andy Griffin Show on Open Line Friday. That means you get to participate if you want to play and be part of the show. Call me at 673-5890-435 and then at 673-5890. I have a couple of topics I think people are going to be interested in. One of them is, we were just talking about it, Mello and I. Hi, Mello.
Good morning.
She's here. Yeah, cool. People who drive in the left lane on the freeway or other more than two lane roads. I did a story about this yesterday, and maybe it was Wednesday. Anyway, I was shocked to learn, Mello, that not only are there the people out there who are oblivious. I hate to use the word dumb, but the people out there who are oblivious driving the left lane because, oh, I'm just going to drive the left. Okay. But I found out that 34% of people occasionally drive in the left lane on purpose as a way to punish people who drive too fast. And then another 7% said they not occasionally, but they regularly do that. So basically 40% of people, that's almost half, that's 2 out of 5. 40% of people say they purposely are trying to police speeders by getting in their way. Oh my gosh.
That's just rude.
That makes me mad.
Yeah.
It does. I mean, really? Are we really doing that?
I've driven with people that actually do that.
Well, we're already getting a phone call. How about that? I don't understand why. And maybe if you're listening out there and you do this or you have an idea about something, this being a good idea, maybe you can check in with us and give us a call, 673-5890, and talk about this. Did we get a call? Okay, no, it's not one we're going to do. Okay, so we'll get Mello back in here. Mello, you have been driving a few years.
Not as long as me.
Mm-hmm. But there's a special, some of us who, I drove professionally for the first, as soon as I got my driver's license, I got a job delivering pizzas. And then in between the age of 16 and 24, I drove for a lot of different things. I drove auto parts, industrial parts, pizzas, flowers. I was an embalmer's apprentice for a while, which meant my duty was to go pick up dead bodies. I delivered a lot of stuff anyway, through the years. So I put in, and when you drive 8, 9, 10 hours a day, that, you pretty much have seen it all, right? Mm-hmm. But I always figured people that hung out in the left lane on the freeway or other, five-lane roads were just oblivious. To me, finding these numbers out, Mello, it was shocking to me.
Yeah,
like, do you know people who do that?
Yeah, so I have a friend, and we were actually driving back from Vegas. She was driving, mm-hmm. and she is literally going 75 in the left lane. And there are people, wanting to get around her. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, do you see they're trying to get around you?
Did you say something to her?
I sure did.
You did? Okay.
Yeah. And she's like, I'm going the speed limit, so that's their problem. I was like, no, you did not. Yeah.
I'm going the speed limit, so that's their problem.
Right. They need to obey the law.
Man.
I don't know. I know this is probably just judging, but whenever I see a baseball hat or a bigger hat in the back window or a box of tissues in the back window, then that's my sign that I'm going to have to be strategic in my maneuvering around this person because they're probably going to stand left lane.
I'm not connecting the dots here. What do hats and tissues have to do with this?
I'm not going to say the age of the driver, but maybe the age of the driver if they have
it's an older person is what you're saying.
Maybe, yeah, okay. Yeah. But then my friend's not very old and she does the same thing. So maybe 40% could include younger and older.
My wife came home from work, and this has been a couple of years now, but she came home from work one day and she said, you're not going to believe this conversation I had with one of my coworkers. And this her coworker was in her 30s. So a young person in my him, young to me. Okay. And she said, yeah, we were talking about, you know, driving on the freeway and stuff. And she said, yeah, I purposely will go the exact same speed as I'll get in the left lane, go the exact same speed as a person in the right lane so that people can't pass us if I'm going the speed limit.
Oh.
I will block them from passing.
Okay.
And I was like, wait, what? Did she really say that?
Okay,
she really said that.
I don't do that. There is one thing I do that I am working on diligently because I know I can be a little
passive aggressive. Repent and be saved. Okay, what?
So when I'm driving, and there's a long line of people in the left lane, right? And then this Joe guy, I don't know what his name is.
Starts whipping around on the right.
Comes whipping around and coming around on the right. I will hug that person right behind me so tight that there is not one spot for him to come in.
Don't you hate it when you're doing that, and then for a second you kind of fall, not literally fall asleep, but you kind of, for a second you leave a little gap, and boom, he jumps in there. You're like, dang it.
I won't allow it.
Yeah, I'm so mad at myself.
I won't
let
that happen, because I think that's not right. Like, you need to get in line like the rest of us. We're all waiting our turn patiently, so you don't get to jump the line. That's what I feel like.
Okay, let's talk for a second about the thing that's been kind of hot on social media lately, and that's merge, or some like to say zipper merge.
I don't like the zipper merge either, and I need to probably get on them with the times.
So let's explain it real quick for people. Okay, so you see up ahead that the road is going to go down from two lanes to one or from three to two. So you go, okay, I'm going to be the courteous person. I'm going to move over early, right?
Right, because planning ahead.
I'm planning ahead, right? And then you move over, and this dude, like you were talking about, comes whipping by you. And goes all, it passes 27 cars and gets up to right to where the lane ends, and then kind of jams the way in there.
I know.
It drives me nuts too. I'm with you on this one. Drives me nuts. But we're being shown online by people with authority, by the police department and sheriff's department, there's such thing as a zipper merge. And the idea behind a zipper merge is you stay in your two lanes, both side by side, until you get up to the merge spot, and then every other car merges into the one lane.
I think that would work in other states, but in Utah, I don't think it works, because have you ever tried to leave a concert and merge out of the concert?
Yeah.
You should just park your car and listen to some music, because you're going to be there for an hour.
Yeah. Well, one thing I have begun to do, and we've been to quite a few things up at Tuacon lately. Number one, I am in no hurry to leave anymore. I know there's going to be a traffic jam, so I'm just going to take my time. My wife's like, let's hurry and get in the car. We'll just relax and get there and let me finish my drink or my popcorn or whatever and get there. And then the other one is, I'm the kind of guy that I will let you in every time, but just you. I'm not going to let three cars in. I'm not going to let a whole line in, but I will. If I see a car waiting, and it's a big traffic jam, I'm not talking about regular traffic rules. I'm talking about like the situation like at Tuacon. I will let one person in, and then I will go.
Yeah.
And I think that's, to me, that's my civic duty, let one person in, not let a bunch of people in.
I think that because we are so accustomed to not letting people in Utah, that they need to have more signage where they want you to do the zipper merge. And kind of explain it a little bit so you don't get so hostile about it.
That makes sense.
Because you feel like you're being cheated when you got over early because you noticed that it's going to be one lane ahead.
Yeah.
And then all these guys or women are getting in front of you and making everybody that's waited in line have to wait even longer. Like when that stuff on Dixie Drive was going on, I just went on Bluff Street.
So the old saying is, failure to plan on your part does not necessarily constitute an emergency on my part, right? And so to me, I was always like, look, I planned ahead. I saw the merge coming. I made my way into the correct lane. I feel like that I should be able to, you know what I'm saying, Mello? Failure to plan on your part doesn't constitute an emergency on my part. I just feel like that's something that needs to be adhered to. But
yeah, we have Rhonda on line one. She wants to talk about
okay Rhonda, what's on your mind today?
Well, I've had people wait for me like on a two-lane road when I'm trying to pull out of a gas station or something, and you can't see around the car that's waiting for you, trying to be polite to see the car that's coming that's going to hit you. And it just happened the other day, a guy on a motorcycle. The person stopped right in the middle of Sunset, I think it was, to let him go, and he went, and he got slammed. So people shouldn't stop in the middle of main thoroughfares.
I agree. I agree with you 100%.
Unless you're on there by Albertsons out in Washington, and there's big long lines waiting. Then of course, if both lines of cars wait and let a car go, then that's wonderful. But other than that, no.
Yeah, I agree with you. Thank you, Rhonda, for the call. Yeah, this drives me crazy too. People that listen to the show regularly probably heard me talk about this before, and Mello, you probably heard me talk about it, but. And Jeremy Needles was on from the police department, talked about this. The accidents that are caused by being too nice. Again, if you're in regular flow of traffic and you just decide, and this happened the other day to me, so there's a guy wanting to cross the street, not in a crosswalk, in the middle of a block, guy wanting to cross the street. The guy in front of me decides, I'm going to stop and let this guy cross in front of me. There's no line of cars. There's no crosswalk. I'm going to stop. So here I am behind him driving on a regular rate of speed, you know, through this block. And all of a sudden this guy stops for no reason, from what I could see, no reason. And I was just like, dude, that is not how you drive. Let's keep the rules of the road. Now, Rhonda makes a great point. If there's a long line of cars and everybody stopped and, you know, that's different than just on your own volition going, I'm going to stop now.
Yeah, but I know what she's talking about over on Sunset, like when people are trying to pull out of like the Albertsons parking lot and come across and there's a lot of traffic. Like I have stopped before, but that's because there was a red light ahead. But then the other lane, it's true, was still kind of going. And then one car had stopped, but then they went and then the other car tried to pull out and they almost got slammed. Yeah, so I think she's right. I should not be nice like that. It feels bad though when somebody's sitting there for weeks, you know?
Yeah, that's true. It's true, but you don't want to be the one that says, okay, I'm letting you in, go ahead. He pulls out and gets hit by someone in the other lane.
Can you imagine watching that motorcycle accident? And that's so sad. Yeah.
All right, so left lane laggers, being too nice on the road. I think we all need to be kind, but you need to temper your kindness with smarts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I had an opportunity to talk to a guy who... This is interesting, and I know you have a little story about this, too. I wrote a story yesterday, and it's on 890kdxu.com if you want to check it out. It's kind of a cool story about this guy, and I didn't use his real name. He asked me not to use his real name, so I called him George. And George had filled out, signed the paperwork, and arranged with his personal care physician, his regular doctor, to have a DNR. George has a terminal disease. He's going to die in the next few months. He has heart issues, and he has incredibly painful knees. And he doesn't, with his health, he's like, it's just, to get a knee replacement would be stupid. So he signed a DNR, which means if he has a heart attack or if he has something, you know, happen to him, doctors are not supposed to use heroic measures to bring him back. He filled it out with his doctor. The doctor signed it. I don't know if he had to actually sign himself. Probably you do, but he said, I was good to go. He said, I had a heart attack. This was probably a couple months ago now, but he said, I had a heart attack and somehow the DNR didn't make it into the medical computer system.
Mm.
So when the paramedics came to administer to him, to get him back, they didn't know he had a DNR. They performed heroic measures, including sticking a needle with adrenaline into his heart.
Mm.
They got his heart going again. He's alive now. Now, he did not want to, he was ready to go. His wife has been dead for years.
Aww.
He was ready to go see, you know, his wife again. I almost said her name, but he's ready to go see his wife again. And he was okay with the DNR. And so when they revived him, he was a little, he said, the first thing I thought when I woke up is, why am I here? Why am I still here? I'm supposed to be dead.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I here? And through some unfortunate paperwork or computer glitch or whatever, they didn't get the word that they weren't supposed to bring him back. And so he's still here. Now, to his credit, I should say, he is not going to sue them. He's not really angry. And he is actually happy that he has a little more time with his grandkids and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But he says he's ready to go. I feel for the guy, you know.
Yeah.
He's like, I've lived a good life. I'm ready to go. I have bad health. I'm in pain all the time.
Mm.
Let me go. And they didn't. Now, you had a story about that.
Yeah, I was on Instagram or something like that, and there was a court case, and there were these two gentlemen. They were from, I think, Chicago or something like that, and this one guy was probably a gang member, and he had a tattoo on his chest that said D and R, like huge, like across.
Big, giant block letters on his chest.
Yes, on his chest. And for him, that meant do not resuscitate, but he got in a gang fight or something, and the ambulance was called, and the paramedic came and saved his life. And so he was at court suing the paramedic for reviving him.
Wow.
And the judge said, sorry, that doesn't work.
That is not.
He was doing his job.
The tattoo on the chest is not a binding legal document, is what you're saying.
But I was wondering, that made me think, because there are some people that have, like some other medical issues, and they have like a bracelet, right?
Mm-hmm.
That
mm-hmm.
is like for whatever.
Like I'm allergic to penicillin or whatever it might be.
And they wear it all the time. I wonder if there's like a DNR bracelet. Mm. I don't know.
It's a good question.
Because then everybody, if you're like at those last stages of your life with a terminal illness, then there wouldn't be any question. I don't know. Just thinking about that.
I got reading up on DNRs after I talked to this guy and after I was working on the story about him. And it's interesting because there is a feeling among them. First of all, first things first, doctors, 80 something percent of doctors said they want a DNR. They don't want to be revived if it gets to that point.
Really?
I thought that was really fascinating. Yeah. 80 something. I think it was 82% or something like that. So 8 out of 10 doctors are like, yeah, don't bring me back. But the other thing was, there is a feeling among the medical industry, and they have some numbers to back it up, but not complete numbers, that if you have a DNR, you are not going to get the same quality of medical care that you would if you didn't have a DNR. And say, well, yeah, of course not, because they're going to let you die. No, they're just talking about regular everyday medical care. They say doctors have conceded to the fact that you are probably going to die and therefore they're not going to give you as good a medical care. And like I said, Mello, they hadn't developed a complete statistical basis for this, but there is this feeling amongst the doctors, I'm reaching for my phone now, amongst the doctors that you're not going to get as good a medical care if you've signed a DNR. It's almost like the doctors are saying, well, if you don't care about you, then I don't care about you.
Oh, I see. So they're just not even going to do a good job.
And, yeah, that is something obviously the medical industry wants to put the kibosh on. That's not what you want. I've got a text from Mello. I'm going to check out right here. Mello, is this pretty cool? Oh,
well, yeah, that's just for our caller. It's a different topic, but we can always go
back. We can go back to Zipper Merges. Lisa is on line one. Hi, Lisa. What's on your mind?
Line two.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Okay.
Turn the radio down. Yep.
Okay. The Zipper, what did you guys call it?
Zipper Merge, yeah.
Yeah. It's efficiency. Just like you said, you there's a merging, so I'll pull over now, and there's 27 cars in line.
Yeah.
And so it just makes sense that you don't merge until the lane merges. It's like a Zipper is more efficient. And I think you should have the policeman or whoever it is on to try to explain that in more efficient terms, because it is frustrating when you pull over and then people pass you. But I'm one of those people that passes you. I don't whip past you, but it's like, why do you stop back here?
Yeah.
Wait till the line merges. Anyway, that's my thought.
All right. Thank you, Lisa. I like your take on that. And you know, I have real mixed feelings about this, but I like what you said, Mello, in that we need more education on this. What are they all zipper merges? Are only some of them? Are they if it's supposed to be a zipper merge, shouldn't that be like a big sign label that says this is a zipper merge zone? Or maybe I misunderstand. Maybe all merges are supposed to be zipper merges.
Or they could start a new campaign. It could be zip it or ticket.
Yeah. Oh, imagine the traffic mess if there was a police guy pulling people over on the zipper merges. Ay, ay, ay. Yeah. So, we talked about zipper merges a little bit earlier in the show. And again, it's one of those things. It's like, well, you know, I don't get credit for thinking ahead and merging early. And As Lisa said, and a lot of people, even online, have said, you know, actually, no, you need to go ahead and go to the point where the merge happens and zipper it together. Every other car, zipper it together. I don't know if I'll ever be good at that. Because
I don't know. I think I would be good at it, but I think that we're so conditioned here to plan ahead, yeah. prepare your own way, your own salvation. Like, yeah. sorry, you're a sinner. You can be in that lane and you can just wait. Just wait.
All right, let's go back to DNR for a second. Mm-hmm. So my wife, she doesn't have one yet, but she has said if it comes time where her, you know, her life is ending, she does not want heroic measures. She's okay with letting it go. My wife has said that.
She's young.
I hate that. By the way, it's her birthday. Happy birthday, Shelly.
Happy birthday.
She is 55 today, and she doesn't mind me giving her age because she's actually more like a 25-year-old or a 35-year-old
than
really a
55-year-old. She really whips around, man. She's quick.
She does. But she said, you know, I don't, you know, if I don't want to suffer from some disease and take 9 months or a year and a half to die, she watched her mom go through that. Mm. Her mom went through cancer and took 13. When the cancer came back the second time, it took 13 months for her to succumb to this cancer that was in her liver and her pancreas, it was, you know, lymph nodes. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I don't want that. You know, she says, when I die, I want it to be, you know, boom, boom, it's over.
Yeah.
She's like, ideally, I'd like to die in my sleep, but I don't think you get to request that. I think that,
I know. That would be the way to go.
I said, what about Thelma and Louise? We hold hands and drive off a cliff. And she's like, no, that's probably not good either. I don't, as I look at it, she's got this DNR, or she's got this idea, do not resuscitate. And I'm like, honey, if you're unconscious, I want them to do everything they can to save you because I'm not ready to let you go.
Oh, that's so sweet.
You know, that I don't want to face life right now without her.
But you don't want to face her wrath if you resuscitate her.
Yeah, that could be interesting. It's kind of like the other. So I was going to buy her something for her birthday. I was going to buy her a 2-hour massage, right, and makeover, right.
Mm-hmm.
But we are planning this. We're going on a trip in August, and it's expensive. It's devastated the Griffin savings funds. Yes. Let's put it that way. So I find this massage in town here, 2-hour massage, Mother's Day massage, but it's her birthday, and they had openings this afternoon today while I'm working. Unfortunately, fortunately for me, I like doing baseball, but I'm doing a baseball game today during her afternoon birthday time, so I get all the way to the, you know, schedule and all the way through, and then get right to the point of put your credit card number in. And I was like, I mean, she'll love the massage, but it was $120, which is a great deal for a fantastic deal for a two-hour massage. But yes. With us going on a trip this summer and stuff, and my wife being a very frugal person, Mello, I was like, can I pull the trigger?
Oh, you were worried about her getting mad for you spending the money?
Oh, yes, big time.
Husband's like that, too. He doesn't want me to buy him anything for his birthday.
Yeah, yeah.
And it makes me feel bad, but I'm like, okay. Yeah. I don't know what to tell you, but you better buy me something for mine. So you didn't get her the massage?
I did not get the massage. And when I talked to her about it later, last night, I said, I was going to get this for you, and just I couldn't pull the trigger and pay the money. And she said, thank you.
Really?
Yes. She was so grateful that I didn't do that.
So you get the credit for wanting to do it and being so close, and then you didn't even have to do it. That's a win-win.
There is that. We got to get a weather break in. It is Mother's Day this weekend. Yes, Sunday is Mother's Day. So, guys, I know there are going to be some of us who will go to Maverick at midnight on Saturday and, what can I get you? What do you have in Mary? No, she doesn't want Pineapple Mountain Dew for Mother's Day. Okay, what can I? No, those nerd things with the little runts stuck to the ass. No, she doesn't want that. You need to prepare. You need to get her something today or tomorrow that you can get at a real store for Mother's Day.
I actually love peanut M&Ms and Dr. Pepper, and sometimes my kids get that for me.
Yeah. My wife would not be happy. Actually, the peanut butter M&Ms. Did you say peanut or peanut butter?
I like peanut.
Oh, she likes the peanut butter M&Ms.
My husband, too.
Yeah, peanut butter M&Ms, but she doesn't like soda pop, so. Mm. But yeah, guys, prepare in advance. Don't make Mother's Day kind of a last minute, I forgot, I got to get her something, you know, Sunday morning at the Maverick or Saturday at midnight at the Maverick or whatever, so. 9:33 on KDXU. We'll be back after this.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Hey, thank you so much to those who have called and been a part of the show already today. And we're going to roll on here, 937 on KDXU. I'm Andy Griffin. Melody Fillinson is on the line. Hi, Melody.
Good morning.
I still don't know what mellow melody. I don't know
both.
What to call you. I know you do, and you say that,
great.
But that actually makes things worse. I would prefer you to say, I want to be called this, and then I can just stick with that. And be.
I can't do that because my husband won't call me mellow because he disdains Carmelo Anthony.
Carmelo Anthony.
So a lot of people call me mellow, and some
no, wait a minute. When you met, you've been married, what, 10 years now?
To this? 8 years.
8 years?
I met him 10 years ago, yeah.
Okay. When you met him, were you going, because you've always gone by Mello, right? You've been called Mello your whole life, right?
It depends. Sometimes I change when I move different places. And like some words I'll say I'm Mello. Sometimes I'll say I'm Melody. It just.
So when you met your husband, what's his name again?
Jeff.
When you met Jeff, did you go, yeah, I'm Melody? Or
well,
did you actually.
I was going by Melody at the time.
Okay.
It was right after my divorce. I was working at Star Nursery and I had like my name tag that says Melody.
Okay.
So if you've met me as Melody, it's hard to call me Mello. If you've met me as Mello, it's hard to call me Melody.
Okay.
And my dad calls me Melody. My mom called me Mello.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Yeah, my dad did not like nicknames. He wanted all of us kids to not have any nicknames. So he was a little frustrated that I switched
Melody,
it up.
Yeah. Yeah. My wife, her real name is Rachelle, R-A-C-H-E-L-L-E. In fact, we have a good way of screening calls now. So if a telemarketer calls and asks for Rachel, we know that it's mm-hmm. not anybody that knows her. We're like, yeah, she's busy now. Sorry.
That's right.
Although I had one telemarketer from India. Hello, my name is Sanjay from India. But he introduced himself as Bruce from Indianapolis. And I knew he was lying. And because he asked for Rachel right up front. And then he started talking about. They were selling lawnmowers, and he's like, I'm like, have you used this to mow your lawn, Bruce? And he says, oh, yes, I use this all the time. And I was like, Bruce, and I know that's not your real name. You probably live in Mumbai or New Delhi, and you don't have a lawn.
You said that?
I did. And he was like, oh, no, my name is Bruce. I'm Indianapolis. No, come on. And we had like this 10-minute conversation. By the end of the conversation, I got him to admit his real name was Manmeet or something like that. And he did live in India. And it was an outsourced call. And he didn't have a lawn. And he never used the lawnmower he was selling.
Oh.
And,
yeah. You did get him to admit that.
Maybe I got him fired. I don't know.
Wow.
But I got to the bottom. Anyway, back to my wife. So her name, her real name is Rochelle. Her dad's name is Ray. And they, until my mother-in-law passed away, to the day she died, she called my wife Rachel. Not Rochelle, but Rachel, because she was named kind of after her dad.
How sweet.
Rachel.
My grandbaby's name is Ray. Raiden. Ray. After my dad, who is Del Ray. So that's kind of cool. I like take the names and meld them into names.
Did you say Raven?
Raiden.
Oh, Raiden.
Yeah.
Okay. And this is a boy?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm. But they call him Ray, which is great. I love it.
Raiden. Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Back to the DNR guy. Okay. Just to kind of put a bow on this one. He is ready to die. He is dying. He has a terminal disease. He is... good. He says the one thing that when they resuscitated, when they brought him back, he's a little unhappy about it, but he's fine with it. But he says it did prompt me to follow up. It did prompt me to go, okay, I got to make sure this DNR got in the system, that if this ever happens again, that I make sure, you know, that they know. And so he said that that's the one really good thing that came out of all this is he said, I did a little follow-up work and hopefully it will never happen again.
That's good. So, well, you won't be able to interview him next time.
No, I will not. And it wasn't an interview so much as a conversation.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Conversation.
But I have this weird deal of remembering everything people say. So.
That's a great
It's a
deal.
Weird thing, yeah.
Unless you're your wife and you have to
Yeah,
argue about
no, I don't pull that on her, but... So anyway, I would urge you out there, if you do have something like a DNR or something you want to be followed, an end of life directive, they call them, or living will, follow up on those. Make sure that they are get into the system so that when, you know, something like this maybe happens to you, you know, it's there. And by the way, if you're in that position, say you're unconscious and they're, you know, you're about to die, a family member cannot overrule a DNR.
Oh, that was going to be my question.
They cannot. That legally, the doctor is bound to follow the DNR. It's a legal document, and it doesn't matter how much begging or pleading a family member does, they still follow the DNR.
Wow.
So it's going to be interesting when my wife gets, if she ever gets to that point, because I don't want her to go, and she's ready to go. So, yeah, interesting. This is the Andy Griffin Show. Melody, I think. I don't know what her name is anymore. I'll just call you M. Maybe I'll call you M. M. Finlinson is here.
MF. Yeah.
No, that's not good either. helping me out today. I appreciate you being here.
Yeah, I love being here.
She also brought my favorite drink to me today, which is really kind.
I know where my bread is buttered.
Yes. So, Mother's Day. Okay, so your mom has passed away, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So you don't have that part of it in there, but you are a mom.
Mm-hmm.
First, let me ask you this, and I talked with Rory O'Neill earlier today on the show about this. Just because your wife did not birth you does not mean, guys, you can ignore Mother's Day. Is that correct?
Yes.
Do you expect something from your husband? Something, maybe not a thing, but do you expect some recognition?
I like flowers.
Yeah, okay.
I like flowers from him. And he'll usually take our 7-year-old and go help him pick something out for me, which is cute.
I told Rory, I said, I'll probably smoke some kind of meat for my wife because she likes it when I smoke something on the smoker. He says, well, don't fall into the whole trap deal where you then expect her to clean up after you've done all the cooking.
Ooh.
And I'm like, that's a good point, because when I smoke meat, I tend to make a big mess.
That's a good point, yeah. So, that is not fun. I don't know. I'm planning on making Sunday dinner like I usually do.
Oh, really? You're going to cook on Mother's Day?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, make them do it.
I'd rather be,
you want it to be good?
The menu. I'd rather. No, my husband does a great job.
Okay.
He did some barbecue ribs, actually.
Okay.
Because our kitchen is MIA right now.
Oh, yeah, all tore up, huh?
Yeah, so I'm going to just go to my dad's and put something in the crock pot. It'll be easy.
Okay. Anyone else we should acknowledge on Mother's Day besides our wives or mothers?
I usually reach out to a couple of my aunts that didn't have any children.
That didn't have children. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
That were really kind to me growing up.
So I have two daughters. One is married, the other is single. Should I be doing, like, I mean, they're young, 22 and 20, so I kind of think Mother's Day doesn't apply to them, right?
Well,
am I right or am I wrong?
I think you're kind of right, but I don't think it's a bad thing. I think that my dad, I think growing up on Mother's Day, I think we all got like a flower or something. I'm trying to remember, but I think there was some acknowledgement of the feminine nature of women.
Now, I have two daughter-in-laws that are moms. They're in Salt Lake, Taylorsville. Do I have, as a man, a father-in-law, is there an obligation to me to do something for them?
I usually just shoot a text to my daughter-in-law that has my grandbabies and tell her happy Mother's
Day.
Oh,
that's sweet. That's very nice.
So that's kind of what I do. I do acknowledge. I don't, like, send a Mother's Day gift, but I do acknowledge it, yeah.
Okay. I want to make sure I'm covered. It's kind of a weird weekend for me because my wife's birthday is today and then Mother's Day is Sunday.
Yeah.
And I have baseball playoffs yesterday, today, not Saturday and Sunday, and then all week next week, baseball playoffs.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, it's going to be
busy for you.
Interesting, busy. My wife did say one thing, though, about birthdays, that when you're grown up, you know, especially when you're into your, like, 50s like we are, that birthdays, are you celebrate when you can. It doesn't have to be on the day or that night or, you know, maybe on the weekend or what. We had a dinner for my wife on Wednesday.
Oh.
Well, her birthday's today, not Wednesday. But still, it was a nice little dinner.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, it's acknowledging the event, I suppose. That makes sense.
Yeah.
But I do like to take my birthday off if possible and not work.
Stockton actually said that earlier. He says, yeah, I save a vacation day every year so that when my birthday comes around, I take the day off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I usually end up working on my birthday lately, but I used
to
not.
You're a realtor, and there is no day off when you're a realtor, right?
That's valid, yeah. But it's okay.
Although, a little birdie told me you sold a couple homes this week.
I did, and I actually put an offer in on a house, too, and I have a listing coming up. So the real estate market's still moving, so I'm grateful for that, too.
crazy. You know, I get to I hear Jeremy Larkin and Brandon Hanson every week. They have that 25-minute show that's on KDXU. Mm-hmm. Brandon Hanson, of course, is a loan company, Cherry Creek Mortgage.
Yeah, I like him.
And Jeremy Larkin is a realtor, mm-hmm. and he owns a real brokerage service, whatever it is. And so I get to hear a lot about the realty market, and it's funny because with interest rates as high as they are, you think people would stop buying houses. Mm-hmm. That ain't happening.
Yeah. Well, the two buyers I had were cash.
Okay.
So, we have a lot of cash.
But somebody said as many as 40% of buyers in our market right now are cash buyers.
That's true. There's a lot. But there are some people still getting loans. Like, I showed homes to my daughter up north last week, and they have a substantial amount to put down, and they're going to be able to get into a home, too. So I think it's a good time to get in, because as soon as the interest rates go down, then there's going to be a run on the market, I think.
Yeah, and that's kind of what all the realtor experts are saying is, you watch, when the interest rates drop a point or so, when we're down in the fives, people are going to start buying big time, and there's going to be a run. And guess what? When demand is high, what happens?
I don't know. I think the prices kind of creep up a little bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So, 947 on KDXU. Again, Mother's Day is Sunday, guys. Don't forget. We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about identity theft. Good news in the state of Utah about identity theft. And bad news in other places. We'll talk about that, too.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back to the show. Okay, let me catch up on a couple of texts. Let's see, somebody texted in and said, yeah, zipper merging in Utah would be equivalent to trying to herd cats. Okay, I hear you there. Also, someone, I was talking about the telemarketer from India. He says, FYI, there are 20 million Catholics in India that take Catholic religious names. I have a good friend born in India whose birth name is Jacob. Maybe that guy's name really was Bruce, but he admitted to me it was not actually Bruce. So good thought, good idea, but yeah, no.
Not in that case.
I also just got a Gary, line one. Oh, I got a text from Mello saying Gary is on line one. So, Gary, what's on your mind?
I wanted to make a recommendation for Mother's Day.
Okay, I need it. Help me, please.
Okay, years ago, I started taking my wife, and then I started going, too, for a pedicure.
Ooh. Hmm.
So I recommend La Couture on Riverside Drive.
Okay.
And I recommend a lady there named Nora.
All right.
And it's 558 East Riverside Drive.
Okay. All right.
La Couture and especially Nora.
Okay.
My wife has passed away, but I still go there myself.
Still go there. Good for you.
Pedicures are amazing.
Pedicures. Thank you. Appreciate the call. Pedicures, huh? Do you do pedicures then?
No, I do. Right? I do.
Okay. I never have.
They have gel pedicures, which are amazing, too, because then they stay on a lot longer.
Gel pedicures?
Yeah. So they put your...
Like fake nails?
No. So they paint it, and then it hardens. So, like, it'll stay on for, like, a good month.
Oh, okay. I have... I'm actually maybe proud of this, maybe not. I don't know. Maybe you guys judge. I've never had a pedicure or manicure.
My husband goes.
See?
Yeah. Okay. Well, he'll sometimes get it painted just to make his...
He is a metrosexual,
yeah,
apparently.
To get his dad mad. He'll get him painted sometimes.
Nah, really. I wanted to talk for a minute. I'm going to blow your mind with some of these statistics. Mello, when I say identity theft, what is that? What comes up in your brain when I say identity theft?
I had my purse stolen once, and they actually did have my ID, and they...
Did they use it?
I got it back from the police later, and there was a lady that looked similar to me that I don't know what she had done with it, but it was like a big ring of identity theft. So that's what comes to my mind.
Okay. Identity theft by the law is defined as, let's see, when someone takes your name and personal information like your social security number and uses it without your permission to do things like open new accounts, use your existing accounts, or obtain medical services. So that's in a nutshell. Basically, someone steals your identity means they take all your information and use it for their benefit or gain.
I actually did have my accountant a couple years ago got breached, and they got all my information, and they actually filed taxes before I got my taxes filed.
Really?
Yeah, so that was a little bit of a mess.
Did they get money?
I always owe money, so no, they did not get any money.
Oh, if you want to steal my tax money and you're going to pay for me, go for it.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead. So I just had to like refile, and they said it's already been filed. I'm like, no, that was not me.
Okay, good news for Utah. Identity theft in Utah is down 3.5% from previous years. But there are places that are better. Tennessee's down 21%. The caveat there is Tennessee was quite a bit higher than we were. So, of course, it could go down further. But there are places, let's see, Georgia, Florida, Nevada is very high in cases of identity theft. Now, I should maybe, I guess, quantify what high means. It's still like half of 1% of people. So basically 5 in 1,000 people have their identity stolen. But it does happen. And in Utah, it's like 1 in 1,000. In Nevada, it's like 5 in 1,000. So it's much more likely to happen in Nevada or Florida or Tennessee. Connecticut and Massachusetts. It seems like New England right now is really having a problem with that because they're up 69% and 58% from last year. These are the 2023 numbers. It's estimated that Americans lost $12.5 billion due to identity theft last year in 2023.
Wow.
$12.5 billion. So real quick, we only have 3 minutes left. Some advice on identity theft. This is from nerdwallet.com. Freeze your credit. Now, what that means, that doesn't mean you can't use your credit card. That means you can't open a new credit card account without going through a bunch of steps. But it seems like a pretty good idea to me because a lot of the identity theft criminals, they open new credit card accounts with your information, and then they're able to use the new credit card to buy stuff. You can actually call your credit card company and freeze your credit. Basically, you can say, don't let anyone open any new cards in my name, period, until I give permission. So seems like a good idea. Also, to treat your Social Security number like gold, like it's diamonds, like it's very valuable. So many of us are kind of loose with our social.
Yeah,
don't do it.
They used to, back in the day when I was younger, they used to have Social Security numbers on the military IDs.
Mm-hmm.
And they've changed that. So now that's one good thing they did over there.
It is advised that you use strong passwords and add an authentication step. Now, what that means, if you're like me, most people, I know Mello, you know, changing your password all the time, oh, what a pain in the neck. And did I write it down? No, I didn't. Did my computer remember it? It did this time, but now I'm on a different device and it doesn't remember it. It's really a pain in the neck. But one of the things that can actually help is if you use an authenticator or an authentication app. Basically, what happens is if you sign into a deal with your password, wherever you sign in will send to your authentication app a code.
Mm-hmm.
And so you not only have to know the password, but you have to be in possession of your phone or whatever it is, your email address or whatever, your access to your email to access whatever it is you're signing in. So authenticator apps, although they can be a pain in the neck, actually really, really do work. They said watch your mailbox. A lot of the identity theft people, I'm not talking about your inbox and your email. I'm talking about your real physical mailbox. A lot of them are just a little post out front. Bad guys will come by and grab your mail, and a lot of times you have some pretty sensitive information in your mail.
True.
And boom, they've got your identity. Protect your mobile devices. Don't leave your cell phone sitting around for other people to pick up. And gosh, I hear every single day, I hear a story saying, I lost my phone, or I set the phone on top of my car, drove away, it flew off while I was driving. I left it at the mall, I left it at the at the post office, wherever. Protect your phone. It's very, very important. And this one actually is a pretty simple one, but one that they say is very, very crucial. Check your credit report often because, you know, stuff will show up. If stuff shows up that you don't recognize, that you didn't do, that's a really, that's a really great sign that you've been compromised.
Yeah, and you can check it once a year for free.
Yeah.
So you should.
Absolutely. Well, we've used it all up. Mello, thanks. thanks for your input today. It's always good to talk to you.
Good to see you again.
I still call you Mellow, apparently,
it's
because
fine.
That just now I didn't even think about what to call you, and I called you Mellow.
That's so. It. I'm Mellow Yellow. There you go.
Mellow Yellow, yeah. Mellow, now, are you still pulling a country station shift? You still?
Yeah. Nice. I was off last weekend. My daughter graduated.
When can we hear Mellow on the Cat Country?
10 to noon on Saturdays.
10 to noon on Saturdays. Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah.
All right. I'll have to tune in and see how you sound.
Okay.
Everybody, again, thank you so much for listening. This is the Andy Griffin Show. So next week I'm going to be at the state baseball playoffs, but I will be here via the telephone. So Stockton's going to push most of the buttons, but I will be here via the telephone. We have some great guests next week, including Jack Hunter, talking about the hangar dance over at the Western Warbird Museum over there at the airport. Hopefully we'll talk to you then.